Hey, welcome everyone to the next edition of Taking Stock. Really excited to welcome a really good friend of mine, Sebastian Valencia. Sebastian is a partner at Clarkston. He is the leader of our management and operations practice. We've had the wonderful opportunity to work really closely together over the past 10 or 12 years. He is a great thought leader when it comes to organizational transformation. When it comes to corporate strategy, and those are some of the topics we're going to hit upon today. We're going to talk about transformational leadership. We're going to talk about how to set that strategy and then also make it actionable throughout the organization. And you're also going to be amazed to see him work in historical figures, both from the world of cinema, from the world of politics, and from the world of Greek mythology. So listen, enjoy, and we'll talk soon. Hey, Sebastian, welcome to Taking Stock. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. Pleasure being here.
Thank you for joining me on a Friday morning. And so for the record, before we start, I thought everyone would get a kick out of what your official full name is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one, my mom decided to add that name at the last minute without anybody's consent.
Okay.
Sebastian, my middle name and what I go by. And then Valencia, Gomez, Ruiz, Gajon, and I can keep going on, but I think we'll run out of time.
But to keep it simple, we'll refer to you as Sebastian Valencia. How about that?
That's perfect.
All right. Awesome. So really excited to chat with you today. You and I obviously spend a lot of time together, working closely together through the years. And one of the ideas that, you know, you've been talking to me about and to our clients about is this idea of bringing the future to the present. And there are so many market dynamics that are making strategy setting more challenging than it's been in the past. You know, you think about uncertainty in today's economy, the growth in digital spending, speed with which disruptive innovation is occurring, and just some of the broader shifts in the global economy from developed markets to emerging markets. I mean, there's a ton of challenges in the market, making it harder for corporate leaders to set that strategy. And how do you think and plan for the future? How do you do that and not be constrained by the challenges and limitations of what's going on in the world today? And as challenging as all that is, often a greater challenge is gaining alignment throughout your organization around that strategy and making it actionable. So I'd like to start at the top with you and understanding that transformational leadership is definitely not easy. In your opinion, what are some of the characteristics of transformational leaders in terms of setting that visionary strategy, one that sees into the future, perhaps more clearly than mere mortals are able to see? Like, so I start at the top, and I'd love to hear your perspective there.
Absolutely, Steve. Yeah, this is not an easy topic, and one that a lot of the C-level executives that we advise are constantly challenging with. Being a transformational leader, it's sometimes it's not part of their DNA. It's something that they grow and evolve into. And with all the different pressures in the market, the temptation is always there to be a little bit on the binary perspective of trying to go either all in into we need to transform, we need to be a different organization, mm-hmm. or we need to be better and more efficient at what we're doing. I think what good transformational leaders do is being able to balance this foresight of the future in strategic transformation and guiding the organization at the right speed into that new final destination, while at the same time working in efficient ways or gaining efficiencies or optimization initiatives in parallel. So right. They, as you were mentioning before, that we like to coin it as transformational leaders are able to bring the future to the present, making it real and position them in a very easy ways into the organization, across the organization. So what the organization is leaving now and the decisions they're making now make sense and guide them every step of the way into the future.
Yeah, awesome. And you have a great analogy that you draw with JFK. Share with the group that analogy.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the "We'll Have a Man on the Moon" JFK speech is a great example of a visionary transformational leader that stands up in front of a country in difficult times and basically says, "We will have a man on the moon in this decade," with very little foresight or understanding of where we are with technology that didn't even exist, but knowing that that's our destination. That's where we're going to be.
Yeah.
So the troops can rally behind it and see it as no matter what, we'll get there. That's our destination and that's where we're going.
Yeah, I love that. And okay, so let's say that vision is set and, you know, we're going to have a man on the moon by the end of the decade. That's out there for public consumption. However, as a leader, even if you know something is right, how do you get the organization to believe in that mission? And not just, you know, your key lieutenants, your key leadership team, but the entire organization, from top to bottom, from bottom to top. How do you get that entire organization singularly focused around achieving that goal? And even if they don't believe in it, how do you get them to believe in it and then driving towards it?
That's perfect. So I'll add a couple of things. One is we truly believe that the leader, the transformational leader, needs to be the implementer. And what we mean by that is the transformational leader cannot just make the statement, create the vision, and walk away. That happens often. A lot of the C-level Yep. executives that we work with are pretty busy, get heads down into the strategy, solidify the strategy, and move on to the next one, move on to the next acquisition, move on into the next target, move on into the next strategy. The number one key differentiator of successful transformational leaders is that they get hands-on, participant visibly in that transformation. So the leader, the transformational leader, needs to be the implementer. The number two is I use the Greek goddess Cassandra. She had the power of being able to predict the future. She had dreams and she will come back with, this is what's going to happen. She predicted the attack by the Trojan horse.
Yep.
But she had the curse that nobody will believe her for some reason or another. And you guys can Google why she received that curse. She was not believed, and many of her predictions, if not all, were not acted upon. And what it comes down to, if you read more about the Greek mythology, is that she spoke in riddles. And a lot of our CEOs speak in riddles. They have this tremendous power of, they see what others don't see. They're able to connect dots five times farther than a lot of normal human beings. And they see the future is so clear for them that the organization is going to struggle. The organization is going to go in a different way. The market is going to crash or the market is going to spike. But when they speak with the organization, they speak in riddles. They speak in terms that the organization do not understand. So great transformational leaders are able to bypass that curse and speak in simple terms. And that's what I said. They bring the future to the present because they're able to speak in futuristic terms of today. And that builds credibility.
Yeah, and like you said, making it believable, making it real, and making people feel as if they're a part of that purpose, I think is critical. Reminds us potentially of a 1980s Hollywood film as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm a fan of Back to the Future. Yeah, and it's another one of those that, you know, you see vividly in a more fictional way how Marty McFly has been in the future, goes back into the past, and he knows what's going to happen. He comes from that reality, but has a big time struggle trying to get the professor and his own family and at a younger age to believe what's going to happen in the future. And is until he's able to distill down and basically stop talking in riddles that he's able to convince them about the future, and he's able to convince them and persuade him and build up a team of followers that are going to launch into the future. And I think that's a little bit of what a lot of the transformational leaders need to do, is bring the future to the present in simple terms, be the implementer, and be able to work the organization across different layers into that future.
That's great. And for the record, it's 8 minutes into a conversation, we've been able to hit upon U.S. presidents with JFK. We've been able to hit upon Cassandra, a Greek goddess, and we've been able to hit upon Marty McFly. So that's pretty impressive and something we should be proud of. So let's transition a little bit to one of the things that I know you're really incredibly passionate about, and in many ways is the foundation of our approach to strategy setting and execution, which is enterprise destination mapping, or EDM, as we like to call it. Talk about that a little bit and how important that philosophy is for executives.
Absolutely. So our enterprise destination mapping methodology is a framework that allows transformational leaders to be able to align that vision, gain consensus amongst their leadership, be able to have guiding principles, so the organization doesn't waste any energy on the sacred elements of their strategy that are willing or not willing to compromise on, then brings it down into tangible, clearly digestible goals, and then a set of initiatives or tactics that are connected to the goals, that are abiding by the principles, and that are fully aligned to the overall objective of the vision of the company. And at the end, after the full exercise, it becomes a beacon to launch into the multi-year transformation of the organization.
Yeah, great. I love that. So making that strategy actionable, that's one of the things you and I have worked together with clients. So you've got the EDM set, and we'll talk about some of the time horizons around that in a bit. But certainly in my experience, the greatest challenge that an organization faces is how do you make that strategy actionable, especially as that strategy needs to get distilled throughout the various functions of an organization. So what steps need to be taken to ensure that that strategy and the goals are properly aligned with the goals in those individual functions? And then on top of that, what processes do you need to put in place to ensure alignment and track that success over time?
Great question. Yeah, it's something I take a lot of pride into, and something that is ingrained in our philosophy as an organization, is to ensure that the results of the strategy don't end up living on a beautiful PowerPoint. I think the intent is to move this strategy, the results of the EDM, into execution. So we talk about the leader being the implementer. So full step number one, full participation of the leader in the execution of the strategy. So their role don't stop at the end of the strategy creation. Number two, and probably one of the most difficult ones, and we have a lot of fun in quotes with our clients in this second step, is what are we not going to do? What's the stop doing list? Yeah. There's a lot of strategy exercises end up with a laundry list of things to go do. What they fail to do is to create a list of what we're going to stop doing. And you know it, Steve, there's organizations are overtasked. They have too many activities going on. There's not enough hours in the day, and everybody's working 60, 80 hours per week. And if we add on top of that a new set of strategies, there's no surprise that the strategies are not executable. So the first thing that we need to do is to create that bandwidth in reviewing a lot of things that are being done today, and then bang them against the new strategy and understanding what are those, where are we going to find the bandwidth? Where are we going to find the resources? Where are we going to find the funds, the people, the time to go and execute what we just agreed that matters? It's not an easy exercise. It's easier to add a list of things to do than start scratching things that we're now decided not to do or to stop doing. So it's a fundamental, very difficult task that a lot of organizations avoid or skip, but that is very, very important. And I'll add the third one, which is this buildup of the strategy should have some foundation on financial targets. So there's usually a business case or some type of financial build that leads the organization into the future. And a lot of strategy creations end up with this financial case just for approval, and then it gets stored. The success in execution of that strategy is that financial plan with certain assumptions works as an indicator, an ongoing indicator of how we're doing. So it's not supposed to be built and stored, but it should be revised constantly, whether it's on a quarterly basis or on a semi-annual basis. But bring it back and said, okay, we said that we were going to be doing X, Y, Z, or we're going to grow in this market by 2X or by 1X by now. And where are we? Are we doing? Are we performing? Are we tracking? Did all the assumptions that we had pan out or not? And if not, let's change it. So those three are critical success factors to move from just a pure strategy into actual execution.
Yeah, that's great perspective. And let's talk a little bit about time horizons for a minute. So, you know, I recall we used to always talk about kind of what is your 10-year strategy, and then everyone seemed to have a 2020 strategy, whether it just was, you know, the fun thing to have. So considering the pace of change in today's market, what's the right time horizon to be looking towards? I think everyone would agree it needs to be shorter, right? We need to allow for greater agility, but what is that right length? Or does a long-term strategy still make sense, but you need to make sure you have the mechanisms in place to be able to course correct as those market dynamics might dictate?
I think you got it, Steve. I think it's the latter. I would have to agree that the 10-year horizons there's no appetite for them. A lot of executives don't even know if they're going to be around by that time. So if you're a public organization, you're being measured in quarters, and even some private organizations are under tremendous pressure. So the longest that we've seen is about 5 years. We're getting much more traction with 3-year plans that are probably supported by a 5-year horizon.
Okay.
The key is to stick with it. It's kind of like going to the gym. If you have a plan that is too far into the future, it's just, you gotta have immediate goals and immediate targets to start signaling the transformation. So have a 5-year plan, be very specific and much more tactical for 3 years. Three years is probably the sweet spot, but then have very tangible next steps for your first 100 days, your first 6 months, and then some targets and checkups at the end of year one. There's a lot of dropouts of the strategies at the end of year one, if not sooner. So if you don't create that stickiness into the strategy and show that sometimes year one of the strategy is not as good, is a year of getting things together, is a year of turnaround. So set the right expectations for year one, measure it. So then you can go in year two, year three, and double down and scale. So that's helpful.
Right. All right. So last question, let's have some fun for a minute. So I'll use one of your wonderful examples. You're Marty McFly, and you're coming back from the future. Let's say you had a chance to go visit 2030 and you're 10 years out. You're coming back to 2020. What are you telling today's executives? What's the one thing that they need to be planning for? Or in other words, like, what's the key thing in the future look like in your eyes that you would want to convey to today's executives? I don't want to put you on the spot with this one, but curious your thoughts.
Well, I'm tempted to start speaking in riddles. That way, fine. Whether I get it right or wrong, I won't be fact checked. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the hoverboard, right?
Sure.
Like it never pan out. But now
I think I have a couple of those in my basement for my kids. So that's not really looking to the future.
Nice. I think there's having a little bit fun with this, there's going to be a tremendous change in the way we look at our workforce. I think there's the technology and human behavior is going to have a significant radical change in the way we see and feel and think of organizations and talent. in coming back from the future, I think the advice is to double down on your investment in talent and take a closer look at initial signs of the hyper specialization, the ability to crowd source or take talent that is passionate about specific things but may not be committed to work with you forever. I'm a big supply chain, as you know, as the core, and I think, and it's probably not going to be 2030, it's probably going to be sooner. The way that autonomous vehicles are going to change our lives is going to be tremendous, and it's going to radically change how we move goods in our supply chains. Mm-hmm. And the role of people, the role of the vehicles, and the role of the streets and the spaces in cities and just in general. So I think that's going to have a tremendous impact that a lot of companies are missing out in today's age. And just to add a component on threes, because I think that's how humans think.
Uh-huh.
There'll be a component heavily related to the impact of climate change into how organizations act and how organizations perform. I think it will be more prevalent in the way business conduct and act. Less, I think the human and social factor is going to be a given, but it's going to be a significant component in the financial performance of the organizations and the decisions that they make.
Yeah, that's great. I love your first thought around investing in talent, and it was really refreshing to ask that question and not have the answer be artificial intelligence. It was refreshing.
Or so, blockchain.
Or blockchain. Yes, thank you. So thank you very much for the discussion. Thoroughly enjoyed your perspective on a bunch of these topics. I think obviously setting that strategy, making it sticky, having achievable goals and driving it out through the organization are certainly some of the key takeaways. And really appreciate your perspective. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up again soon.
Thank you, Steve. This was fun. Thanks for having me here.
All right. See ya. Bye. So thanks to Sebastian for a great discussion. Again, like I said, he's got a great perspective on a variety of topics and certainly great listening for any organization or executive that is challenged with setting strategy and making it actionable. So thanks again for listening, and I look forward to you joining us on future discussions on Taking Stock. Have a great day.